Israel's sustained and systematically orchestrated assault on the Gaza Strip now has a name, the Palestinian Genocide. The newly published report by the UN's Independent Commission of Inquiry is unequivocal. Israel is engaged in genocide against the Palestinian people. From now on, the name of the world's newest genocide, the Palestinian Genocide, must be hammered into the discourse, boldly used, unapologetically and without fear, never forgotten. To do otherwise is genocide denial, an insult to the memory of the tens of thousands of Gazans who have been killed in what we now have a solid legal basis to call the Palestinian Genocide. The Commission gathered 16,000 pieces of evidence covering the period 7 October 2023 to 31 July 2025. It reached its landmark conclusion by investigating four of the five genocidal acts defined in the 1948 Genocide Convention. Israel was determined to have engaged in all four of these genocidal acts as a matter of state policy. On the first, killing members of the group, the Commission concluded that over 60,000 were killed, including nearly 10,000 women and over 18,000 children. On average, one child is killed every hour in Gaza. As of May 2025, Israeli intelligence officials listed 8,900 militants from Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad as dead or possibly dead. Given that by this date, 53,000 Palestinians had been killed, Israel was making a public admission that 83% of its victims were civilians. Hundreds of journalists have been deliberately targeted. 13 every month on average have been killed in Israel's ongoing attempt to hide from the world the truth of the Palestinian genocide. As for those striving to mitigate its humanitarian impact, Gaza has become the deadliest place in the world for aid workers. 540 have been killed, including 373 UN staff, mainly UNRWA, and 167 NGO workers. And so I turn to the second category of acts that make up the Palestinian genocide, causing serious bodily or mental harm. As of July 30, 2025, according to the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, OCHA, the number of people injured in Gaza stood at 146,269. UNICEF says the total of children injured between 7 October 2023 and March 2025 is over 34,000. According to OCHA, Gaza is home to the largest cohort of child amputees in modern history, many deliberately targeted. The Commission found that Israel's use of lethal weapons had resulted in long-term, life-changing, debilitating injuries, including loss of limb, traumatic brain injuries, and damaged internal organs. The consequences of this have been compounded by the lack of functioning health infrastructure. 94% of Gaza's hospitals have been damaged or destroyed. There have been frequent reports of limbs being amputated without anaesthetics and women giving birth by caesarean section, unanaesthetized. According to the UN Commission, 1.9 million people have been displaced, most on average at least six times, some as many as 19 times. In June 2024, UNICEF stated that almost all of Gaza's 1.2 million children need mental health support. According to the Israeli authorities, more than 4,500 Palestinians in Gaza have been arrested, many transferred to facilities inside Israel in violation of the Geneva Conventions. The UN Commission received numerous reports of detainees, including children, being stripped, blindfolded, kicked, beaten, sexually assaulted, raped, and subjected to death threats and other forms of physical and psychological torture. I now turn to the third category of genocidal acts under the Genocide Convention, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. Almost immediately after the 7 October attack, the Israeli authorities announced a total siege on Gaza. In December 2023, Ocha described the humanitarian situation as apocalyptic. Ladies and gentlemen, the number of bombs dropped on Gaza is extraordinary, even in comparison with major world conflicts. One military source told the commission, Israel was dropping on Gaza in less than a week what the United States dropped on Afghanistan in a year, in a much smaller, much more densely populated area. Credible comparisons have been made between Gaza and Hiroshima in relation to the amount of civilian infrastructure destroyed, about 70%. Israel has systematically destroyed Gaza's farmland. Ground troops have demolished greenhouses. Bulldozers have toppled orchards, ploughed out crops and crushed the soil. Israeli planes have sprayed herbicides over the fields. Before October 2023, about 40% of Gaza's land was farmed. Last month, the UN reported that just 1.5% of Gaza's agricultural land now remains accessible and undamaged. That's roughly 200 hectares to feed over 2 million people. Ecocide goes hand in hand with genocide. Perhaps the most shocking act in this third category of genocidal crime is deliberate starvation, as it involves such wide-scale complicity by the Israeli bureaucracy. In August this year, the UN officially declared starvation in Gaza. The UN-backed IPC, an internationally accepted system for assessing food security, estimated that a quarter of Gaza's 2.3 million people were suffering from famine. Starvation was reported in a fifth of all households in the Gaza governorate. According to the IPC, one in three children there were acutely malnourished to the point where at least two children in every 10,000 were dying every single day. Since the last IPC analysis, the number of children expected to be at risk of death from malnutrition by the end of June 2026 has tripled from 14,100 to 43,400. Think of it. Continued inaction and complicity by UN member states will allow nearly 45,000 children to starve to death in the next 9 months. The World Food Programme estimates that at least 15,500 metric tons of food per week is needed to meet just life-saving needs in Gaza. Between 1 and 15 September, Israel allowed the UN-led aid system to take in only 40% of that. Much of it was subsequently lost, as the Israeli army routinely forces UN convoys to travel along routes known for violent looting. 21 out of 50 malnutrition centres in northern Gaza, including 10 in Gaza City, have closed in recent weeks due to Israel's military offensive. Israel has destroyed over 85% of clean water facilities. Households survive on only 3 to 5 litres per person per day, well below survival thresholds. Preventable diseases have spiked sharply, including a threefold increase in diarrhoea and a more than doubling of jaundice. During Israel's aid blockade this spring, the World Health Organization reported stock zero for key items as nearly half of essential medicines ran out. The World Health Organization reports that only 44 trucks of health supplies have entered Gaza in September, shockingly below need. And given Israel's severe restrictions on the movement of people, there is a serious risk that more than 15,000 patients requiring emergency medical evacuation will be denied, with no capacity in Gaza to treat them. An estimated 70,000 litres of fuel per day are needed to keep hospitals, water systems, bakeries and coal chains functioning. Since the famine declaration, Israel has permitted only 41% of that requirement to enter Gaza, forcing constant triage by humanitarians and repeated shutdowns of life-saving services. As Gaza starves, just metres away, parked outside the starvation zone, on the other side of the fence which Israel built around Gaza, are thousands of trucks full of food. Not far away are the thriving restaurants and packed supermarkets of southern Israel. UNRWA estimates that there is enough food parked outside Gaza to feed the entire population for 3 months. Israel refuses to let them in. Instead, the Israelis continue to claim that the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation has prevented starvation, a claim that the IPC has shown categorically to be false. A recent GHF whistleblower described their operation as a death trap, where over 1,000 starving civilians have been deliberately targeted and killed. And so I turn to the final category of genocidal crimes investigated by the UN Commission, imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group. Attacks on healthcare facilities, including those offering sexual and reproductive healthcare services, have affected about 545,000 women and girls in Gaza who are of reproductive age. Direct attacks against the main maternity wards in Shifa Hospital and the Nasser Medical Complex in Khan Yunis rendered them inoperative for long periods of time. Facilities specifically designated as sexual and reproductive healthcare centres have been directly targeted or forced to end operations. The UN Commission investigated a shocking attack on Gaza's largest fertility centre, the Al-Basma Clinic in Gaza City, in December 2023. Around 4,000 embryos and 1,000 sperm samples and unfertilised eggs were destroyed. The Commission established that Israeli forces deliberately targeted the facility, launching a tank shell that directly hit the clinic and caused the explosion of 5 liquid nitrogen tanks, destroying all the reproductive material that was stored there for the future conception of thousands of Palestinian babies. Ladies and gentlemen, moving on to Israel's genocidal intent, the Commission established this beyond all reasonable doubt. Many senior Israeli officials are quoted by the Commission, including the President, the Prime Minister and the Defence Minister at the time of the October 2023 attack, boasting of their intentions to destroy the Palestinians in whole or in part. They incited and they gave orders for genocide, proudly and on the record, and numerous Israeli soldiers dutifully obeyed, triumphantly posting on social media as they destroyed whole apartment blocks, looted Palestinian homes, and gleefully violated international humanitarian law. The Israeli media spread the poison of dehumanisation, enabling, indeed popularising genocide, if opinion polls are to be believed. But the recently published comments by Israel's finance minister, Bezalel Smotrich, have revealed something even more disturbing, the commercialisation of genocide. Mr. Smotrich has said on the record, in a public forum, and I quote in unofficial translation, "There is a business plan, a real estate bonanza. It really pays off. We have started negotiations with the Americans. We have paid a lot of money for this war, but we need to decide how we make back a percentage on the land marketing. We've done the demolition phase, which is the first phase of urban renewal." End quote. As Israel's vision of a settler-based Riviera in Gaza comes into focus, we are seeing the commercialization not just of genocide, but of war crimes, crimes against humanity, apartheid, aggression and ethnic cleansing. And with Israel's publicly stated intention of massively expanding illegal Jewish settlements and taking complete control of the West Bank, including East Jerusalem, we may be seeing the commercialization of illegal annexation. Ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion that Israel is committing genocide reinforces pre-existing third state obligations to end the Palestinian genocide and punish its perpetrators. As the UN Commission concluded, the prohibition on genocide is a peremptory norm of international law, a legal obligation that is accepted and recognised by the international community of states, from which no derogation is permitted. In other words, all UN member states have an obligation to prevent and also to punish genocide. The only question is how. Turkey led by example, imposing an arms and trade embargo on Israel. Others too are getting on the right side of international law. If Mr. Netanyahu and his former defence minister, Yoav Gallant, arrive in the territory of any of the 123 member states of the International Criminal Court or overfly their airspace, they must be arrested and handed over to The Hague in accordance with ICC arrest warrants and in conformity with treaty obligations. Sanctions must also be imposed in support of the International Court of Justice and the General Assembly's overwhelming demand that Israel end its illegal presence in Palestine, the deadline for which passed just days ago. To be clear, there is now a double imperative, a twin justification to impose sanctions on Israel. Firstly, to end the Israeli occupation of Palestine, and secondly, to prevent and punish genocide. To this end, plans are afoot in the General Assembly to impose a full range of punitive sanctions: trade, military, diplomatic, cultural, sporting, academic, and more. This is not a choice for member states, it is a legal obligation. And in the face of government inaction, the people are mobilising, not just courageous students, dock workers across Europe are pointing the way forward, threatening to shut down the European shipping industry. Global direct action, campaigns of civil disobedience and industrial disruption will escalate if governments continue with their illegal support for the ongoing Palestinian genocide. Ladies and gentlemen, the UN Commission report is an important legal milestone on the Palestinians' long road to justice, freedom, self-determination, dignity and peace. It gives those who have long argued that Israel is committing genocide a solid basis in fact and legal analysis. We must not delay action, as some have argued, until the International Court of Justice makes its determination on genocide. That could take years. Meanwhile, there is an obligation to end genocide and to punish its perpetrators. The greatest cruelties in the annals of man's inhumanity to man are given names: the Warsaw Ghetto, the Tiananmen Square Massacre, the Rwanda Genocide, to name but three. And though uniquely different, we now have the Palestinian Genocide. Henceforth, it must become an undeniable and constantly referenced touchstone in the global discourse. It must become a rallying point for solidarity with the Palestinian people and a springboard for robust international action. Thank you. Double Down News brands itself as the future of journalism. And I have to say, the more I consume media stuff, the more I think they really are the future of journalism. They dare to say things which other people don't. They dare to challenge the narrative, the orthodoxy that's pervaded by many of mainstream media. And I think for that reason alone, amongst many others, I think they're really worthy of your support. So join the future of journalism. Support Double Down News on Patreon.